went over last time was, number one, our hearts determine the pathway, the journey our life takes. So in essence, if you want to know where your heart's at, just look in the mirror. Look at where you are in life. Your heart has brought you that far. Which means what? If you're going to go to the next level, you're going to have to do what? Thank you, my sister. You said it silently, but say it louder for us, please. You're going to have to do what? Change our hearts, yes? Have to change the heart. The second reason is God looks at the heart. Remember, we looked at Samuel and David and Jesse and the brothers. And Samuel was looking at those boys and going, yes, they are specimens, soldier, king specimens. But God had to say to him, listen, no, you're looking just externally. And external is important. Remember, we said you don't get a second chance to make a good first impression. So it's important, the external, but God says, I'm looking at the heart. So long before Goliath started to spout his mouth off at the Israelites and cuss God out, what happened? God looked at the heart and said, these boys ain't going to say nothing. These boys are going to just let it ride. But this David boy, he's going to speak up. So God looks at the heart. He promotes based on the heart as well. Before God gives us anything, number three, he searches and tries the heart. You might not believe it because you may come from a place where the devil is to blame for everything. And he is to blame for some things, but only the things you give him access to. Oh, I ain't getting no amens on that one. Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes.
You can blame the devil all you like, but I would first check the heart. Check inside. In fact, they used to say, when you point one finger at me, there's four pointing back at you. Check the heart. God promotes. Jeremiah chapter 17 talks about this. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. You don't get what I'm supposed to get. I don't get what you're supposed to get. God looks and he searches the heart. He tries the reins, looks at the motivation. It's not just what you do. It's why you do it and how you do it. He tries the heart, and according to his ways, he promotes every man, and according to the fruits of his doings. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. So really, our heart determines our progression and our possessions and our prosperity. Our hearts. We did define heart last time when we looked. Remember? Did anybody got their notes? We said H was for the seat, the heart is for the seat or the center of our physical and spiritual life. We said that the E was for emotions. This is how we feel, our compassion and our sympathy. We said the A was for affections, is our appetites, our desires, our passions. We said the R was for our response, our decision making, our will, our deeds, our drive. Then we said the T was for thoughts. Is our intellect, intelligence, our thinking, and our understanding. And you might come from a persuasion where you don't serve God with everything. You serve God like you put a coat on. So when it's time to do something perceived to be godly, you put your godly coat on. When that's finished, you take it off. But that's not loving God with all your heart. That's not loving God with all the heart. God is not looking for lip service. He's not looking for people who turn up every week and hearts are far from him. In fact, he calls that vain worship. He says he's looking for love service, people whose hearts are towards him. So from the heart, we're looking then. I want to talk to you this morning about a subject called It's a Love Thing. Everybody older than 45, 50, yeah, you see, I see some of you rocking. You remember the song, It's a Love Thing? Three of you, all the rest of you are pretending like you were in church all the time. Okay, I can see, I'm looking out like, they like, we ain't got a clue what that song is. All right, okay. It's a love thing. Why was Saul rejected? It's a love thing. He didn't obey God. Why was David accepted? He obeyed God. Had a heart after God. Why did Jesus pay the price? We just came out at Easter or resurrection time. Why did Jesus pay the price? Remember, he asked the question, Father, is there another way? But nevertheless, not my, but your. Why did Jesus do it? It's a love thing. It's a love thing. So wherever we are and why we're where we are, it's a love thing. It's a love thing. I realized some years ago in my Christian faith that I was very much works-based. I showed up, put my coat on, my spiritual coat on, did the stuff, and then left and just lived for myself for the rest of the week. And when I said live for myself, it wasn't necessarily sin. Even though it is sin, I was just living for me. So God was whenever God was in the box. We went prayer meeting, God's, that's a God thing. We went church, it's a God thing. We went Bible study, it's a God thing. But in work, it's not a God thing. In my profession, not a God thing. And it's very easy as believers for us to get to that place. Very, very easy for us to get that place. Because generally, back in the day, we were taught very a works-driven salvation. Works, 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 works. So if you went to more meetings than me, you were more saved than me. Forget the fact that Jesus ain't seen you for the last 6 days. Remember those guys in the Bible who said, we've done all this in your name. And Jesus said, depart from me, why? I don't know you. We don't have a relationship. So it's very important that we jump from an event-minded Christian lifestyle and kingdom lifestyle to a lifestyle, a kingdom lifestyle, which means it affects everything that we do. Matthew 22, if you've got your Bibles with you, verse 37. We're in the Amplified version. Jesus said it this way. You shall love the Lord your God with all your, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest, the most important principle and first commandment. So this is Jesus. This is Jesus saying, listen, if you want to know what's important to me and my Father, this is where we're at. He says, first things first, you got to love me with your heart. Now we just defined what heart was, but let's go a little bit deeper. A heart, our emotions, our affections, our response, our thoughts. Our heart is the centerpiece and the seat of our spiritual and physical lives. Which means if I am going to love God with all my heart, it means I love God with what? Everything. I love God with everything. Thank you. I love God with everything. I don't decide and choose, well, I love him with this, but I won't love him with that. I love him with everything. With everything. Jesus demonstrated this because he said, Jesus denied himself by saying, not my will, but thy will be done. When he was being crucified, when he was being buried, did Jesus have the power to get out of that? Anybody? Didn't he say, I could have called, how many? How many is legions? A lot. I could call legions of angels to get me out of this. But he didn't. He denied himself. He said, not my will, your will be done. Jesus humbled himself. This is Jesus demonstrating what we're talking about. When we're talking about it's a love thing. Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Now, I was thinking about this and I was thinking, you know what? What would happen? What would happen? And I want you to ask yourself the question. I'm not asking you the question, but I want you to ask yourself the question. If you were in Jesus' shoes, would we be here today? No. Thank you for your honesty. There's some people who tell the truth in this church. It's true, isn't it? If it was really up to us, some of us, we wouldn't be here today, would we? No. But we'd want to, like Peter. Remember Peter? All these other jokers, they'll deny you. Not me. Until he was faced with his life on the line. Then the Bible says at one stage he cursed, denied Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for us all. Why? Because it's a love thing. So I want to ask you the question, how's your heart doing today when it comes to loving God? How's your heart doing today? And we have to assess ourselves. Part of being self-aware is assessing self. My breakthrough came in my marriage when I stopped trying to fix my wife and started to fix myself. Come on, say it louder, ladies. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. Don't leave me hanging. I'm just being honest. I got to the stage where my wife would tell me something like, sorry, babe, I got too much to work on myself. I got to work on me. It's a level of maturity one comes to, self-awareness, self-assessment. Generally, I'll say this, generally, before somebody corrects me, I've already been through the process. Because I became big into self-awareness. How am I operating? When I said that, how could that have come across? Fixing me, we've got to. So how's your heart doing? I love hymns. Hymns is one of the things I know, and some of the old school church will remember this one. Jesus paid it all. Come on now, give me the words. All to him I. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Anybody know what crimson is? It's red. It's red. Have anybody got a red stain on their garment, their white garment? How hard is it to get out? It's difficult. The songwriter says this, sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. This to me describes what it means. It's a love thing. It just describes it. Because when we truly love like God, when we truly see a picture of how God loves us, then we have to respond. We have to respond. John 3:16, let's have a look at this picture. John 3:16, AMP version, if you've got it. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. So I want you to do this morning. When it says God so loved the world, I want you to put your name. I want you to put your name. God so loved your name. Because that's what Jesus died for. You. Me. When we see foolishness going on in the world, remember Jesus died for them too. Remember that we're here as his hands, his feet, his mouth, his ears, his eyes to deal with those situations. Put your name in there. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son for you, that if you believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. I think as church, generally we're good at saying that for other people. We're maybe even good at forgiving other people, but we're not good at forgiving ourselves. When it comes to celebrating ourselves, when it comes to loving ourselves, remember this, you can't love your neighbor any better than you love yourself. You will not love your neighbor any better than you love yourself. So we have to understand, love will deliver us and get us out of a lot of situations. We are so valuable to God, he gave his only begotten son and he gave his best. That's how valuable you are. I know you're looking at me like, well, yeah, this sounds like motivational speaking. But it's in your Bible. For God so loved the world, it's in your Bible or on your phone. Motivated by love, our God gave. So, what does that look like for us? If I'm not giving my best, if I'm not giving my first, If I'm not giving my time, my talent, and treasure for kingdom, if it's not lifestyle, is it a love thing? Question. Is it a love thing? It's not, is it? It's not a love thing. It's a lack of love thing, but it's a love thing. So from that perspective, one and only begotten son means my first and only. Anybody remember Cain and Abel? Can anybody tell me why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's wasn't? Anybody? Any Bible scholars in here? Come on now. Any? Remember, they both gave offerings. Both of them gave offerings. Both of them gave offerings to the Lord. God accepted one and didn't accept the other. Anybody have a problem with that? I do. I wanted to find out, why did God? There's a little clause it says in the King James Bible. It says, in the fullness of time. You know what in the fullness of time means? At the end of the day. So Cain's offering was, I finished doing what I'm doing now. Okay, God, I'm ready to give you something now. Abel's offering was first fruits. Abel's offering was, I'm going to pick out the choice, the best, and give it to God. So God accepted his and didn't accept Cain's. Interestingly enough, instead of Cain being self-aware, self-assessing, and dealing with himself, what does he do? You ever seen that in church before? You're rising, you're leveling up, you're progressing, you're prospering, and then somebody automatically is vexed with you for no reason. Okay, I know, we've not seen it. It's a church down the road. It's a church down there. What about in your family? You ever seen that in your family? Come on now, tell the truth and shame the devil. You seen that in your family? There's just that one person who just don't like you. You know it, because when you walk into the room, you can sense it. Why is it? Some people are jealous. Some people are envious. Some people don't. Some people like you where you are now, and when you level up, they won't like you. All right, that's three amens. So, if I'm not giving my best for the kingdom, it's a love thing. We're valuable to God. Question is, how valuable is God to us? How valuable is God to us? Let's look at the practice, because I'm going to give you some evidence here. Hopefully, you can understand that actually we need to level up when it comes to our love for God. God's practice of love, Romans 5, verse 8. It says this, amplified version again if you've got it. But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Big problem for me. I ain't dying for no sinner. I'm sorry. If that was me, can I be honest? You'd want them to at least show some signs that they're on the right road. All right, so it's just me. Okay, leave me hanging. You leave me hanging then. It's just me. You think about it. Before you invest places in people, don't you want to see them like kind of really wanting to learn and grow and go to the next level? Yes. Isn't that what we're really like? But here it says, actually, no. While we were yet sinners, missing it, far away, God's love went so far that Christ died for us. I want you to think about that for a bit. Because it's easy to die for good folk. What about bad folk? What about bad folk? Easy to die for good folk. You know that one person that gets on your nerves? I'm sorry, I'm just confessing now. You know that one person that gets on your nerves, and instead of giving them the whole of your mind, you could die for them by prayer. No? Nobody want to go into fasting and prayer for somebody that's getting on their last nerve? No? Because that's what it means. Sacrifice. Instead of responding the way I really want to respond, I'm sorry, I grew up Caribbean and I used to hear my mother say, if I could give her a piece of my mind, you see? Oh, my mom was saved. But it's a love thing. Jesus shows this here when it says God clearly shows love can be seen. Please, folks, please, love can be seen. We've got to get away from just intentions of love. Well, I intended to love you. That's not good enough. What if Jesus intended to die for us? Love can be seen. The second thing it says here is it proves is love. Love is convincing. It's verbal, it's non-verbal, it's actions. Don't just tell me you love me. Show me. All right. You're still feeling it out. Am I the only person in here that really thinks that way? Don't just tell me you love me. Jesus said it this way. You guys come to me with your lips, but your heart's not for me. Your heart's not for me. Is it possible for somebody to show up in church week in, week out and not love God? It is. You've got to prove love. Love is convincing. The third thing it says there is he demonstrated or proved his love towards us. Love has to be aimed somewhere. It has to come towards. When I really love, it's pointed. It's directional. It's going places. I can't be going that way and saying, yeah, I love you. God demonstrated his love and it towards us. We were a target. It comes towards you. Then the last thing we see there, love is cost. It's a sacrifice. I think I've said it here before. Whilst I do not subscribe to what they deem prosperity gospel, but I do subscribe to the gospel of the kingdom. And in the gospel of the kingdom, it ain't free. Oh, we've heard that theology for decades. Salvation is free. Really? Tell Jesus. Tell Jesus. Really? Is salvation free, church? It's not. It isn't. It cost Jesus his life. So it's not free. The Bible says no greater love hath any man than to do what? Lay down his life for a friend. That's great love. You want to look at what great love looks like? It cost. Sacrifice. So when God says, love with your heart, everything we do must be motivated by love. We must deliver regardless of other people. Regardless of other people. Don't ever got ready for church and somebody's running late? Back in the day, my dad's gone. He's gone. I'm sorry. He's gone. He's gone. Church time. You should have been ready. Gone. Why? Heart for the house. Heart for the house. It's a love thing. God's love in us should be clear. It should be visible. In what we do and what we don't do. Like I said, if we get out of this mindset that says, I put Christ on when I'm going to do something Christian, and then when I leave, I take him off. No, it's got to be lifestyle. It's got to be clearly seen. I don't do this because, not because I can't, it's a love thing. It's a love thing. As a musician, I used to be invited after sessions and rehearsals and whatever to go to certain places. I'd say, no, you do you. I'll sit in the car. What you mean to tell me just because you're a Christian you can't go inside this place? No, no, no. I can go inside the place. I choose not to. My choice. It's a love thing. Love has to be convincing. Ride or die. Has to be convincing. You hear it when we say, followed by what you see, I love you. You hear it. I love you. But is there some actions following it? It's a bit quiet in this Presbyterian church. And I know why it's quiet. Because we've been in this grace thing. Gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. All about what I can get from God. Nothing to do with me giving God. That's where we've been. Man has diluted and polluted the gospel of the kingdom down to a place where now, listen, if I'm not getting anything from God, I'm not in it. So we come to church, seller, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. Worship has now got to be about me. Oh, it's true. It's true. I was on a radio program from the Caribbean, and we finished the radio program, and the pastor on there was there with the presenter, and he said, have you got anything to say for us just to close the program out? And I said, yes. And he was saying, as a pastor, I want to make sure that my worship is right and everything is good. So I said, don't let Lucifer lead the worship in your church. The radio station went crazy. The pastor said, no, we're not ending the broadcast. Bear in mind, it's not his show. You cannot leave us on that. Well, you asked me for one thing. I'm giving you the one thing. Don't let Lucifer lead the worship in your church. Why? Because what's Lucifer all about? I will exalt my above the throne of is me, 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 me. And church, in honesty, I think that's where we've come to. I think that's where we've come to. I think that's where we've come to with the gospel. It's all about me. If I don't feel right, if I don't feel good, if I don't feel this, then, you know. What about God? We celebrate the resurrection, but nobody wants to pay back. All to him I owe, that him said. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Love comes towards us, it's directed, as we said. Love cost. There's another hymn, I love this hymn. It says, the love of God is greater than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Did you hear that? This is describing the love of God. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from sin. Anybody know the refrain? The love of God, how rich and pure. How measureless and... Come on. It shall forever endure. The saints and angels sing. Song, sorry, yeah. When it comes to this kind of love, now you can understand why I'm talking about it's a love thing. Because love determines everything. It's a love thing. When it comes to this kind of love, this God kind of love, it eliminates a lot of petty stuff. All right, I'm on my own again. I'm gonna let you know some petty things that we deal with. Number one, dead religion. Petty, dead religion. Denominations. I think there's about 150 denominations in the UK. Dead religion. Why? This person got offended with that one, so they start their own thing. Dead religion. Come on, let's keep it real. Yeah? In the olden days, my dad used to call it breakaway church. Breakaway church. Somebody not happy, so they jump out and start their own thing. Dead religion. Dead, God hates division. Remember we talked about that earlier. God hates division. A house divided cannot. That's it. Cannot stand. Paraphrase. Obeying the flesh instead of lining our lives up with the word. This culture we're in now is this. Let me see if the word can fit into my life, not me fit into the word. That's the culture we're in now. We don't want to line up with the word. In fact, they don't even want us to talk the word. It's true. And we've let it go this far. We've let it go this far that now I see on the internet preachers getting arrested and thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. Our parents told us. They prophesied. But that's all because of this greasy grace. Greasy, greasy grace. Number three, valuing others rather than jealousy and color prejudice. They say on Sunday morning is the most divided color-wise in this country. Why? Doesn't the world have the right to look at us and go, well, hold on. You say you believe in Jesus, but you can't sit with these guys here? And they can't sit with you? Doesn't the world have the right to question us? My wife's uncles were founders of a church, and we asked them, we were sitting with them one time, we asked one of them, how comes you started this church? And he said, well, look, when we came to England, Windrush, we just found the nearest church and went there. And was in there saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, etc. The vicar would come up at the end and say, thank you so much for coming. Please don't come back. What was that all about? So in essence, I said to them, so that means you didn't actually want to start a church? No. Everywhere we went, they asked us, don't come back. Is that Christ? Is that what Jesus died for? That's not what Jesus died for. Number four, exemplify worldliness so much you can't tell the difference anymore. Is there a difference between when somebody says they're a kingdom believer and somebody who says they're not? Can you see it? Before, you could go into a company and go, I know that dude's a believer. I know that lady's a believer. Not now. Oh, you're looking at me really quiet. It's true. There should be a difference. There should be a difference. Why? Jesus paid the ultimate price. Like anyone who is great at anything, we have to do lifestyle. And I hope your silence means that we're doing a little bit of heart surgery. Yeah? We have to do lifestyle. We have to get away from putting Jesus on and taking him off when we leave. Not just Sunday love anymore. It's got to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Some of you don't know that song. All right. Let's do a little love check. Let's do a little love check. All right. John chapter 14, verse 13. First love check is laying down our lives for God. That's the first love check. What is hindering you today from laying down your whole life for God? I want you to think about it. I want you to make notes on this. I want you to write in your devices. What is hindering you? Remember we said love can be seen. Love can be proved. So what's hindering you? Is it pride? Is it sin? Is it people? Is it I love God but I just don't like his people? You know that story. What's hindering you? Second love check list. John chapter 14, same 14 verse 14. Obedience. How much of the word of God is living through you? How much of the word of God is living through you? I was in a situation one time, I was arguing with somebody who was a Christian. And I said, you know what? Let's just put the word down. Let's just both agree that we're going to agree with the word. You know what they said to me? Why would I want to do that? So you mean we ain't even going to agree that the word's right? You want to be so right that the word gets... How much of the word is living through you? Number three checklist, value. What is hindering you from giving your all for God? Valuing God, valuing the house of God, valuing the kingdom. Again, this is not about attendance, putting Jesus on, putting Christ on, putting kingdom on. This is about lifestyle. Number four, demonstration. How do you demonstrate God's love outside of church? Number one, what is hindering you from giving your all for God? Number two, how much of the word of God is living through you? Number three, what is hindering you? Number four, how do you demonstrate your love for God outside of the four walls of the church? God, as we said in the beginning, is not looking for lip service. He's looking for heart service. Some of the petty things that we deal with in church, you know, people talk about, oh, you know, somebody said to me, oh gosh, you give 10% of your salary to the church. I said, no. They said, I thought all you Christians had to do that. I said, no, I give 10% to God. Really? Yeah, why? Well, it's a maths economics. He gives his life for me and asks for me for 10%. Do the maths. Easy one, right? Okay, you're looking at me gone out. He gives everything. He asked me for 10%. I mean, is that a good deal? Okay, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm the wrong. I'm the only one. Jesus gave his all. I said to him, listen, Jesus gave his all for me. 10% is no big deal for me. Before I do anything, God, thank you. Bang. It gets quiet in this Presbyterian church. Please don't let the God of Mammon fool you and keep you in fear. Money's just a tool. It's no big deal. I don't worship money. Honestly, I don't worship money. In fact, I don't even respect money. Money is a tool. It's a tool. If it's in my hand, it's going to do kingdom work. If it's in somebody else's hands, it's going to do something else work. It's just a tool, folks. It's just a tool. It's nothing more. I love when it comes to the offerings, that the Bible says you give as you intend in your own heart. Love is giving. For God so loved the world, he did what? Yes? And I really want to provoke you into understanding and getting to the place where, listen, this is what I do. This is what I am. I don't just put on Christ at the weekend. I don't let petty stuff get in the way. If I see somebody from another church, I'm not like kind of looking down on them. No, many people that are not of this fold. They're believers, kingdom believers. If they're walking with God, if they're pushing the gospel of the kingdom, we celebrate them. All the pettiness we get rid of. We're one in God. If they're a different color, from a different culture, it doesn't matter. Are they of the kingdom culture? Boy, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. All right, let me finish with this. Where our treasure is, Jesus says, that's where our... That word heart there, wishes, desires. That which our life centers on. I always say this to people. Don't tell me what you love. Don't tell me what's a priority. Just show me your schedule and show me your bank account. And I'll tell you what you love. Where I put my time? Priority. Where I put my treasure? Priority, no? All right, three of you in this church. That's it. Jesus says, our heart, where our treasure is, that's where we heart. Where's your treasure this morning? And I'm not just talking about money, because sometimes we can think, oh, here they go again, money, money, money. No. Where is your treasure at? Where's your heart at? The center of your spiritual and physical being, where's it at? Why am I asking that? Matthew chapter 6:21 says it. Because it's a love thing. Stand to your feet this morning. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.